Friday, Terry Manchester, base, Cholmoid, base of Tafna, and Zion of Ari Mashiroid.
I won't disappoint anyone. I said on the sign something about dancing Hasidim. I won't be any doing dancing. I don't know who came up with that name. I'd much prefer to stick to my organization, which is the Traveling Hasidim, and which I actually did travel here. So I'm not going to dance up here. It's a shtait. I don't know who came up with that name. I think it's a great name, but someone, it's still available for grabs if someone wants to take that organization. A couple of days ago, I was sitting with my family. I think it was Tuesday night. We were up pretty late schmoozing. I think some of you, most of you also done that. And my kids asked the questions, the famous questions, the traditional Manish Tano. Why do we eat matzah? Why do we eat murai? Why do we dip chalosis? And when he finished, I asked my 8-year-old, I said, seriously, does that bother you? He says, what? So you just asked a question. I said, no, I didn't. I said the Manish Tano. It says, you asked me 4 questions and you were expecting an answer. You asked me, why do we eat matzah? Does that bother you? Why we eat matzah? He says, of course not. It's Pesach today. Of course we eat matzah. I said, okay, we can go to sleep. We've done. But I really tried to trigger the question because that's a halacha. As we know, the reason we take karpas today, Shishala Tinokis. But again, ask any kid today, why do we have karpas? The answer would be because it's Pesach. So we've lost the whole thing of Kadesh Shishalu. But really, there's a chiyuv to ask. And I tried to trigger the questions, yes, it's Pesach, but so what? Why do we eat matzah on Pesach? And there's a chiyuv to ask, and we showed him say, as we know, the Gemara says if you don't have children, your wife should ask the question. If you don't have a wife at the Seder, you should ask yourself. And the Rishonim say, why should you ask? Because you'll be much more interested in the answer if something bothers you. If there's a question you'll want to answer. If it's not a question you don't really want to answer, it's like when your kids come home from school and you say, how was your day? They probably say, fine. Not much. Baruch Hashem. Why is that the answer? You want to know how was the day? Elaborate. The answer is because it was never a question. You never really ask the question, how was your day? How are you? And we don't really expect a long answer when you meet someone in shul and say, hey, how are you? So, well, do you mean physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially? You know, I've got a lot to share with you. And by the time you finish that sentence, the guy's long gone and asked someone else. Another 10 people he's already asked, how are you? Because they didn't really ask the question. It's just polite to say, how are you? So the polite answer would be, Baruch Hashem. But if you're really asking a question, you might actually get an answer. And the Rishonim say, we should be asking the question, Pesach at night, because if you want to really get the munah inside of you, we should ask the question to get the answer. But that sounds like an oxymoron, because if it's a munah, if we have to believe, then why should we be asking questions? Usually question is exact opposite of belief. That's the way many of us think. But it does look like that on Pesach is the Yom Tov of our minah, and that's why we ask questions. It's a strange. Since it's the Yom Tov of a minute, we should be asking questions. We really have to understand the concept of what a minute is to understand why we should be asking all these questions. Obviously, I'm just going to touch the topic. I was given a half an hour to cover a minute, which is literally impossible. We'll try to cover something. we all know the Dalet Bonim, we speak about that, the Haggadah. And I was asked numerous times over the last few weeks when we prepare the Haggadah, it's very hard to relate to that because, okay, some of us have Chacham at home. If you don't like one of your kids, you might think they're the second kid. But, you know, not all of us have all of the children to know that, oh, we're speaking, now I'm focusing on this child, now I'm focusing on this child. And obviously that's not the real pshat. And on all the picture Haggadahs, when the Tom is someone who just no idea what's going on, it's like a little slow kid, and Shaina De Alishol is a baby. So it's, I don't think that's pshat. At the time, it's just this dumb child that walks home, you know, after shul, Pesach at night, and he sees a whole Seder, and he says, oh, mommy, I thought there's going to be lakshim for supper tonight. And mommy says, no, no, it's Pesach tonight. Tonight is matzor. Oh, thank you. Is that the Tom? I'm sure it's a little deeper than that, what the Tom is. And it's something which we all have to understand for our own Yiddishkeit, for our own Ashkafe, the answers to those questions, because we all ask the questions, as it says in all Chassidus Forums, Vasema speaks about it at length, that there are those four children, every one of us has those four questions inside of us, and we need the answer. There's a Chochem part to us, and there's a Rosh part to us, and Tom, and Shaina Dei Lishol. And my son actually asked me during the Seder this year, he says, well, if some of me is a Rosh, then I'm not going to want the answer. And obviously, pshat is the Chochem part of you should answer to the Rosh part of you those questions. So what are the questions, and how could we get to a level of a minna over Pesach? And we understand the answers. One of the famous questions on the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to understand what was behind Paro's mind. What was he thinking? You know, we go back to the beginning of the story when Moshe came down to Paro the first time and he told Paro those famous words, let my people go. And Paro said, who's Hashem? So he started doing those miracles. He took the stick, threw it down on the floor, and became a snake. So Paro says, wow, that was a great trick. And he called in his chatumim and he said, come on, let's see if any one of you could do it. And they all threw down the sticks and became a snake. And the pasuk says, v'yekra gam chatumim. And every time it says gam in the Torah, it's a ribi. And the Gemara or Medrash says, that wasn't just the chatumim. He called the chatumim's wives, the Mrs. chatumim, and all the kindergarten kids. He called in all the children, all the kinderlach. He said, come on, you see Moshe, he tried to show us a trick. Let's see if you could do it. And they all did the same trick. And it was quite embarrassing for Moshe that, you know, in front of him, he tries to show the power of Hashem, and suddenly all these kids are doing the same. So as you imagine today, if Hashem would tell one of us a message, go to the president to give over a message that he should change his views in something. Oh, I'm sorry, not president, it's the prime minister. And he said, we need a sign. We need a sign that's from Hashem. And Hashem tells you, go to the prime minister's office and take with a matchbox, with a match, and strike it. Fire! This is a proof I'm from Hashem. What would we say? Let my brother go, right? But really, Hashem did this miracle so that it had it been privately in Paris chambers, it wouldn't have been such a Kiddush Hashem what happened afterwards, which was Aaron's stick swallowed everyone's snake as a stick. And now Paro was the one trying to show that we could do everything. But now he became a bigger fool when in front of all the kindergarten kids, in front of the entire Mitzrayim, now he saw who's the real one in charge. And that's what Hashem wanted. It was an unbelievable sacrifice of Moshe to do that. But that's what the tzaddik is, to believe in Hashem no matter what. But here's the question. Okay. We did the job. We did the trick. So did Paro. But Paro said, listen, I know you could do it, so could I. We're equal. But it's obviously not equal. Obviously our trick was way better than yours. And what was he thinking? The same goes with the next Makkah. You know, Moshe managed to get all the water of the entire Mitzrayim into blood, and Pilate called his chatubim, and he did the same. I mean, then, and the obvious question is, how could he do the same if everything is already blood? So, what did he do? He got them to buy water from the Eden. And obviously they charged a lot of money for it. I believe that's where the minhag started, you know, to corner a certain commodity and charge around a few $100 for a cup of water. So that's what they managed to do, and then they took that water and turned it into blood. Amazing! But again, whose trick worked better? You know, if you're just as powerful as we are, why don't you take all the blood which we made into blood, why do you turn that back into water? If you're just as good as I am, then how come you have my $100? How come I have your $100 if the only way you have water is to buy from me? Obviously, we're better than you. So there's many Meharchim in the Bale Musa. What was power thinking? When we speak about Emunah, we have to understand that it's not just we have to believe that there is a God in the world, you know, there's Hashem. All other religions, Lahavdil, believe also there's a Bashefa. They know there's such an idea, such a musig of a Bashefa. But when we talk about living with Hashem, when we talk about real belief in Hashem, it doesn't just mean the concept that there is a God. That's not what Emunah means. What it really means is that he takes care of absolutely everything. He's in charge from the moment you wake up. Mizrach Shemesh Ad Mavoya means from the first moment the sun shone, the first time ever, Ad Mavoya, until the end of the universe. Hashem is in charge of absolutely everything. There's an interesting part of the Haggadah. We say, Arami Oved Uvi. Very interesting, and it always bothered me, this question. Like, why are we saying this now? First of all, we don't even know exactly where Luvan tried to wipe out the entire Jewish people. That's the machlokes in it, which pusik it's referring to, when Luvan tried to wipe out the entire Jewish nation. But even if it's true, why now? Now is the time, Pesach v'nach, we're trying to say how bad Paro was. Paro was terrible, he was wicked, he tried to kill us. And in the middle we're saying, you know, he wasn't such a bad guy. Luvan, he was the wicked man. As if we're whitewashing Paro now. Now's not the time to do that. Now is the time to say Paro was the wicked man, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. But I think the answer is, the Chovos of Ovos writes, that one of the reasons we should rely on Hashem, have real bituchen, is because whenever you ask Hashem for anything, and you might think it's a big thing, we're so used to asking Hashem for small things. It's easy, you know, you're running late, or your kids are running late for cheder, and you can't find your kids' shoes, because that's what kids do, they hide the shoes, one under each different couch. But you run down the steps in the morning and say, Hashem, Hashem, please help me find the shoes. We say it so easy, Hashem, please help me, because it's only shoes. I mean, Hashem could do that, it's pretty simple. But when we need $50,000, $100,000, you won't just rattle off, Hashem, please send me $100,000, because that's something big. You know, Hashem's not just going to give you $100,000. He has to wire from the other account, and it'll take time till Hashem actually sends you that money. We don't really believe Hashem could give it you just like that. And Chovos of Ovos writes that whenever you ask Hashem for anything, you should know it's nothing compared to what He's already given you. What He's already given you this morning, He woke you up. He gave you eyesight, He gave you a kneecap, and He gave you toenails. Of course He's going to give you this. We think this is big. Everything you ask Hashem for, of course you should rely on Hashem. Why? Because nothing compared to what He's already given you. And that's why when the Yidden were in Mitzrayim, they were saying, I don't know if Hashem would really take care of this. I mean, Paro is a real big deal. Paro is like, you know, he's a real wicked man. I don't know if Hashem's really going to take care of us. And we have to remember, Luvam Bikash Laka Sakoil, Hashem says, I have a little secret for you. I've taken care of bigger things, okay? It's fine, I can handle this too. And that's why we say during the Seder, because it's a time we're supposed to build our Emunah. And we have to remind ourselves, even with a terrible Gulas Mitzrayim, we have to always remember, don't worry, Hashem has taken care of bigger things too. And therefore, whenever we have a problem, we have to know Hashem takes care of every minute detail of our lives. The big things and the small things, everything. As we say in Halal, Toiv lachsus v'Hashem im toich b'udam. Tov lachsas v'Hashem im toich mundivim. Hashem will take care of absolutely everything as long as we actually rely on Hashem for absolutely everything. You know, we had the Shabbaton a couple of years ago, and Friday night there was a very large crowd. There was a few hundred people, secular people, and we were doing our thing, singing and yes, dancing too. And we had a very good time. Now, after the meal Friday night, the rabbi, the Orthodox rabbi, comes over to me and told me, do you know that guy you were just before dancing with? In the middle, you put your shtremel on his head. He's worth $1.2 billion. That's what he told me late Friday night. We were schmoozing. I said, what? You know, why did you tell me then? You know, why? I should have known. Had I known? And I was thinking all night. I was up thinking and dreaming. 1.2 billion. You know, I'm going to start a chavrusa with a guy. You know, yeah, we'll be makar of him. Come closer. No, just learn. Because really, I have to be makar of every yid. And it was Shabbos Hanukkah. And I started davening. And they came to howl. And we started Menamaitse Kedusika, and I said, Toiv lachsos b'Hashem b'toyach b'udam. And I said, ouch. You know, I was thinking, I'm going to make a chavrus with him. And I took upon myself there and then, during howl, that I'm not going to talk to this guy. I had other chavrus with me. You know, they could be makar of this person. They could maybe stay in touch with him. I might make a chavrus with Hashem. You know, maybe start learning with Hashem once a week. Be makar of Hashem. Toiv lachsos b'Hashem b'toyach b'divim. If we believe that Hashem will do absolutely everything, and it's not about anyone else. That's what real emunah is. That Hashem does absolutely everything. And I think maybe...
your emunah. Because you thought you want to be makar of this gevir more than a thing. So chesur in your emunah.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what you came to the understanding.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So not only did Shabbaton achieve to them, it achieved to you a bit more.
That's right. That's why we do it. One of the reasons. So I think that's Bishat, maybe, Umparoi said, look, I can throw the stick down and make it into a snake. I can take all the water too and make it into blood. And the cashew is, I mean, it's clearly... We're better than you. So what are you trying to show? But you know, again, when we think a minna is, there's a God. Paru believed in Hashem. Every time he had the tzura, every time there was a makkah, he told Moshe Rabbeinu, please go daven to Hashem. He believed in Hashem. But you know what? He said, Hashem is great. I'm not starting up with Hashem. I agree, he's better than me. But mach mishin gansen avek. Don't say, I can't do anything. I can do this. I could change a stick into a snake. I could also take water and make it into blood. I could also do something. And you're sort of telling me that Hashem could do better than me? I know Hashem could do better than me. I'm just saying that I could also do something. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu brought certain makkos, like Urav and Deve, which were nature. Just to show that even in nature, Hashem runs. Hashem does absolutely everything. Don't you think you can lift a finger? You can't do anything. And that's why... over Pesach, when the main hashkafa is all about a minah, but suddenly there's one idea which is gave and anive, onov. Matzahs are onov and chometz is overblown. This is gave. Why is that also a focus of a focal part of Pesach when the main focus should be emunah? Because that's the same idea. We think onov means someone who says, I don't know, I can't do anything. It's not in my hands. I really can't do this. About Gava says, yes, I can do everything. My Rebbe, Reb Noach Weinberg's Chodin of Lucha, used to say just the opposite. Onov says, I can do everything. About Gava says, who am I? I can't do it. Who am I? Because about Gava thinks you could do step 2, 3, 4, 5, I can't do anymore. Onov says, I can't even do step 1. I can't do anything. Who am I? It's Hashem. And if it's Hashem, Hashem could do absolutely everything. So why not take upon yourself absolutely everything? That's what the Onov is. Onov is, I could do absolutely everything because it's not me. Abba Gava says, yeah, I could do certain things. I could take my stick and turn it into a snake. But I can't do more than that. You can't do anything at all. We have a whole Yom Tov of Pesach to knock this into our beans, to ask the questions, to figure it out. And the Chochem asks the question. The Chochem says, "Mo, why this v'achikim v'mishputim?" He asks all the good questions, and we answer. I'm afteidim achar Pesach afikoyimin. And according to the Shornim, the simple answer is because that's the last mitzvah halacha. In other words, we should teach all the halachas and the timing, like I'm afteidim achar Pesach afikoyimin. Should stay the time. We should really understand it. A Chochem should be asking the questions because that's what Amunah is asking the questions and figuring it out. But we do know, to a certain extent, the Amun is also saying, I don't know, this is what Hashem wants. But we know, when it comes now to Shvi'a Shal Pesach, we say, Vayaminu b'Hashem ev Moshe Avdoi. They reached the level of Amunah. Vayaminu b'Hashem ev Moshe Avdoi. Which is very strange, because we say in the Shira, Zeh keili v'anvayhi. Zeh means they pointed with the fingers, they all said Zeh. As the Medrash says, they saw unbelievable Nevi'ahs. They actually managed to see more than Yechezkel. They saw. So how could they say Ve'amini b'Hashem? They believed. Didn't they know? Didn't they see everything with their own eyes? They didn't need to believe. But that's a mistake. Belief. Emunah doesn't mean you don't know anything. On the contrary. On the contrary, if you don't know anything, you're just fantasizing. You have no idea what you're thinking even. Someone who reached the level to see the Nevi'ahs like Yechezkel, they say, wow, this is amazing. I can't believe it. I never thought even Hashem is so great. And the more you know about Hashem, the more you see there's so much more which I don't understand. As the famous Mama HaChochem, the tachlis of knowing is to know that you don't know anything. Not the tachlis is not to know anything in the first place. The tachlis of knowing is the more you know that you don't know. If that makes sense. That's what a minute is. You know, we look at our time as if, as I said before, a simple, a dumb person, no idea what's going on. Somehow Yaakov Avinu was an ishtam. Avraham Avinu, the greatest philosopher ever, the first one to discover monotheism. Hashem told him, say, you're a tam. Hashem says, all you have to do is one mitzvah, then you'll be a real tam. So is a tam someone who doesn't know what's going on? Avraham Avinu was the tam. I feel, this may be a little radical, but I feel that the tam is on a much higher level than the Chochem. Chochem is simple. Chochem, as we know, is just knowledge. Without Bina, Chochem just knows everything, has a lot of information. He wants to know, and that's great, and you teach him. But there's a famous word, the Welt sagt, Ish ba lo yaydoch sil lo yuvenes zois. You know, if someone walks into the cockpit of an airplane and looks around and sees the dials and the buttons and the levers and says, I don't know what's going on here. That means he never went to flying school. But if someone walks in and says, hey, that green button, what's that doing there? The pilots are going to say, oh, get out of here. You don't know anything what's going on. That green button you don't know? You don't know anything at all. Ish ba, a simple person, lo yaydu, has no idea what's flying. But still a fool, lo yovne zois, he has a question and says, why is this happening? This? This is your problem? Lo yovne zois, zois represents something specific which you don't understand. And that's the Tom's question. The Tom is after the Chochem. The Tom is someone who actually passed Chochmah and knows the timing for basically for everything, but he's still stuck with Zeus. At that point we say, there's a higher power which we don't understand. That's the question of the Tom. The Tom's question is much deeper. I know everything about Hashem, but I'm still stuck with these minute details and the deeper explanations. And then we say, no, now the Amunah kicks in. Because you know so much, you also have to know at a certain point we don't understand. The Sheinu Deir Lishol is worst of all. And there's actually no answer to the Sheinu Deir Lishol. It's at Pesachlo. You better make him talk because there's no hope for someone who doesn't have the questions. We need to have the questions to really rely on Hashem. And lends with this, there's the famous question on Shvi'a Shal Pesach when Yidden reached the Yam. And they saw the Yam in front of them, turned around, they saw the Mitzrayim behind them, they were lost. And Hashem said, so Moshe Rabbeinu started to daven. And Hashem said, Ma titzak alai? Why are you davening to me? Just go. And the famous question which everyone asks is, what do you mean, matitzak elai? What does a Jew do when they're not surah? You daven. Famous question. I personally have never been comfortable with any answer, which is baderach drush. I want a real answer. What's pshat matitzak elai? But I feel that this is pshat in the real emunah we'll be talking. There's this story with a mountain climber. It's a famous story, but if you know it, don't be that guy. The famous story is this mountain climber was climbing up a mountain, his harness, strapped a harness with his helmet, climbing higher and higher. And at a certain point in the middle, the straps could start to get loose. And suddenly they snapped. And he was holding onto this cliff for dear life, and he looked down, and he said there was a cliff of a few hundred feet below him. And he didn't know what to do, and he takes out his cell phone, and obviously there's no service up there, and he was stuck, holding on tight, and out of desperation, he looks up and says, "Hello, is there anyone up there?" And suddenly this loud booming voice comes out of heaven, and says, "My son, this is God. How can I help you?" And he was lost. Wow, you know, God himself answers. He had the British accent. It was the real deal. He really felt it was Hashem. So he said, "Oh, please, I'm stuck. I'm hanging onto this cliff. Please, could you help me? Is there anything I could do?" And this voice says, "Just let go, and I'll be there to catch you." And he looks below and he sees this cliff. There's no way I could do this. He looks up again and says, "Is anyone else up there?" You see, we all have emunah. We all know Hashem exists. But that's not real emunah. Real emunah is when you actually let go. Let go. Hashem will be there to catch you. And that's what the Eden said. You know, there were Mitzrayim were behind them. Hashem told them originally, "You're going in this direction." And they go, and then they see the Yam Suf in front of them. And they say, "What should we do?" Hashem says, "I told you what to do." And so as if they're asking, "Is anyone else? Could you have another idea? Maybe send some boats? I mean, Hashem, you have plenty of ideas. Maybe come up with something better, which is really going to calm me." And Hashem says, "Matitzak elai, you know exactly what to do. Let go. I'll be there to catch you." Good morning.
Started a Torah Manch, part 2, Beis Cholamot, Pesach Tafnei Zayin, Rav Shmuley Buchman.
This morning, I was davening, and